Box to Box Media Network.
Hey, look up in the sky.
It's a bird.
No.
It's a plane.
No, it's Damian Lillard's dick.
What up, what up? You're now listening to the most valuable penis podcast. Box Out Indonesia. Seperti biasa, dipandu gue Raditya Alif. In the house, we got Gemal, we got Tufail, and for the very first time in ever, we got three Paul. Because he's right. back to back. Paul's in the house.
What's up? Amar roll.
Yes. Sayangnya Amar berhalangan hadir. So it's a good lineup we got. Yeah. Tadi pembukanya sebenarnya enggak PG-13 ya ratingnya.
The sponsors
ya.
Are gonna love that opening.
Pun intended. Tapi sebelum kita mulai masuk ke pokok bahasan review soal NBA dan juga ada pengumuman calon-calon awards gitu ya. Gamal. Damian Lillard,
yes,
testify. Ini orang kemaluannya testikalnya segede apa ya?
Berapa inci?
Iya. Yeah.
Ya pokoknya PG karena handle that.
Man, I mean, yeah, let's start at that ya. Ada banter kecil-kecilan ya inside the bubble. LA Clippers menang pada akhirnya lawan Blazers. Setelah Damian Lillard entah berapa poin, he missed some crucial free throws. Ada sedikit back and forth di pertandingan berikutnya. Memang kalau lu alpha male tuh lu jawabnya di lapangan ya, Ji.
Yoi.
For the first time ever, kita sekarang punya satu...
Jawabannya juga gak sembarangan, langsung. Dua kali berturut-turut.
Dan for the first time ever, kita punya kolom baru di IG-nya Box Out. Alpha Male of the Night. So, the top performer every night itu bakal kita kasih gelar Alpha Male of the Night gitu. Dan
kalau misalnya ntar suatu hari Paul George yang statsnya paling bagus dalam malam itu, apakah dia masuk situ juga atau?
We all know that Paul George is no alpha male. That's why we had to go to Kawhi in LA. Come on, man. We all know that.
Okay, yeah. That's not going to be a tough decision. Yeah, betul. Come on lah untuk engage di banner habis tuh chickening out tuh agak. Yeah. Okay, tapi yeah, you know, kita sudah semakin dekat dengan playoffs. Di East, gue rasa nggak terlalu menarik buat ngebahas persaingan di bawah because it's already settled kan. 1-8. Paling dari semua matchup itu yang gue lihat paling menarik sebenarnya Sixers ketemu musuh abadinya Celtics. Ya, 3-4 tahun terakhir tuh kayaknya jadi, you know, a rivalry in the Northeast gitu walaupun kayaknya Celtics selalu lebih unggul. And cuman kali ini dinamikanya berbeda ya, walaupun Sixers they haven't impressed anyone. Kali ini Al Horford yang dulunya dibilang Embiid killer ada di Sixers walaupun gak terlalu efektif. Fail, is this going to go as planned? Atau ada harapan buat Sixers? Ini kita kesempatan buat ngebanggain Celtics loh.
As planned buat Sixers? Enggak jelas. Plannya Sixers kan tentu buat konten, buat go deep in the playoffs. Tapi kita kan juga tahu ada news kalau Ben Simmons itu out for the...
Yes.
Out indefinitely. Bilangnya. Dan that puts dash in playoffs hopes-nya Sixer gitu loh. Mm. Jadi menurut gue ini ada Ben Simmons aja roster construction-nya sudah flawed gitu. Mm. Ditambah lagi sekarang lo kehilangan your playmaker, your best perimeter defender. Dan untuk go deep in the playoffs melawan Milwaukee Bucks dan Boston Celtics yang tak dengan roster konstruksi lo bener aja tuh udah susah gitu.
Tapi Celtics probably will have a hard time buat nge-contain Embiid. Is it a case of pada akhirnya firepower-nya Celtics yang lebih gede apa gimana, man?
Well, he is also like tanda kutip injured again. Or is it Mark Gasolitis? He had the other night.
Oh, okay.
He's gonna be out till 3 years from now. No, he's I think first of all, jelas ini adalah matchup paling exciting dari first round dari East, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we need karena kalau enggak they're all gonna be snoozers more or less gitu kan. Dan ini kasih kita matchup yang lumayan seru di mana yes, Ben Simmons is a big loss. He's my favorite Sixer. Definitely a loss on both ends. Tapi at the same time they did have give some reps untuk Shake Milton. Jadinya they don't have to worry too much from a ball handling position.
Yes, and you can shoot.
I just think the Sixers always going to be a tough out sih kalau di playoffs dengan Embiid, and you have Horford with playoff experience. I think it's not going to be rollover. Apalagi sebenarnya Sixers kalau menurut gue ya timnya itu they're much better than their record shows gitu. They lost some close games juga. So I think for the Celtics to have to draw the Sixers in the first round, it's something they didn't want, I'm sure. Secondly, like apart from that, there's only one other series yang mungkin akan membawa sedikit excitement. I think it's the sleeper series, which is the Heat Pacers. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but with this series, I think this is the one that I'm looking forward to most. Tapi terima kasih juga ya untuk matchupnya Bucks sama Raptors biar gue bisa tidur lebih nyenyak malam.
Silver lining dari Ben Simmons cedera, salah satunya yang gue suka adalah it means more time for Matisse Thybulle. Jadi menurut Matisse Thybulle is so fun to watch on D.
Lockdown D.
Dan gak ada Simmons berarti dia premier perimeter defendernya kan sekarang adalah Matisse Thybulle. Dan kalau ketemu Celtics, kemungkinan besar dia akan ngecek Jason Tatum.
Betul, gitu. Nah, gantiin Simmons ya.
That's a matchup to watch gitu di playoffs.
And plus kalau on an offensive side, seharusnya spacing dengan dia lebih baik ya.
Dibandingkan dengan Embiid gonna go nuts against Boston's big man-ness ya, mungkin Daniel Tice gitu kan.
It's gonna be a lot of free throws.
Can't play Cantor.
All again. Yeah. Selain itu mungkin yang menarik juga Heat dan Pacers. Terus terang, ini gue bukannya lagi merendah untuk gak nge-jinx. Gue sih gak pede. For a number of reasons, ya, yeah, Heat sama Pacers. Gue gak tahu apakah hanya gue yang berpendapat kayak gini di sini, tapi Nate McMillan baru diperpanjang kontraknya. Menurut gue dia pelatih yang oke-oke aja sih sebenarnya. Gak istimewa banget, walaupun gue lebih ngeliat konstruksi rosternya lumayan sebenarnya. Indiana, but again against Eric Spoelstra, 7-game series ditambah dengan fact gue denger TJ Warren had a minor knock kemarin, Domas juga belum kelihatan, Oladipo belum sampai, belum kembali back to his best, dan secara mencurigakan cukup bersahabat dengan pemain-pemain Miami setelah pertandingan kemarin. Gue sih nggak terlalu optimis gitu. Gue posisinya nothing to lose. Is there a case for my Pacers? Gue sih belum bisa
terlalu berpikir. To be honest, this is why I think seri ini sudah selesai sebelum serinya mulai. I think that ini bakal jadi long series, tapi outcome-nya itu udah decided dari attitudes yang gue lihat, misalnya fansnya Miami. They're going in and thinking, yeah, man, you're going to get out of the first round. But then I see Pacers fans, not just you, I'm just saying Pacers fans in general. Almost like they're kind of, all right.
Resigned.
We're going to pack it in already. Dari situ aja gue udah lihat kayak yang satu trending up, yang satu trending down gitu. And of course, if you're talking like talent, you're going to give the edge to the Heat. But I believe Pacers are scrappy, man. Then, you know, we don't know how serious TJ Warren's thing is, but if it's just plantar fasciitis, we've had light variations of that. We've had heavier ones, tapi what a coincidence he gets a little bit of rest before the first
round. Yeah, mudah-mudahan membaik.
Maybe that's what it is.
Or maybe it's gonna be a long competitive series dengan outcome. Yeah, gue biasa ngeliat Pacers gue keluar di ronde satu sih. Semenjak pemain yang itu masih ada, let's move out west. G. Tadi kita udah ngomongin soal Dame sedikit, but we have to start dengan perebutan
posisi 8.
How do you see it panning out? Who's gonna be in the play-in tournament, man?
We talked about this, so let's bring that up first.
Okay,
yeah?
Okay.
Before you arrived. What's the deal now? Okay, saat kita lagi rekam box out saat ini, semuanya masih ada satu game tersisa. Di mana Portland sekarang megang peringkat 8, 9 dan 10 itu di...
Sudah di
8. They have one win because they have actually played one game more than the other two teams. Now the other two teams rekornya sama. So how does the play, I don't know if you know because we couldn't figure it out. How does it work with the play-in tournament? Kalau kan seharusnya emang dua tim yang bersaing di weekend ini, kalau peringkat 8 menang langsung lanjut, kalau 9 yang menang mereka main lagi hari Minggunya. Then it's a bit the winner of that series that goes out. But what if ada dua dengan winning percentage-nya sama, kita lihat the same number of wins, same number of losses. I don't know if you guys have that there. I think the winning percentage is 458 for both teams. Jadi, what is that word? Do they play twice? Is it kind of high school tournament style now? Or what's going on here?
Benar, gue juga sebenarnya sebelum...
They're both 33 and 39, Memphis and Phoenix, right? Let's just say, for example, karena kita lagi malam, Kamis malam di sini. Everyone wins their games tomorrow. So they're in the same position, everybody just has one more win, which automatically puts Portland di peringkat 8, karena mereka udah main satu game lebih dari yang lain. But what happens with Memphis and Phoenix if they both win? It's easy to decide if one of them loses. Itu udah gampang gitu. Gue cuma pengen tahu aja.
Benar, gue juga harus cari contekan dulu buat itu, men.
Yeah, and
yeah, kalau it's complicated, man. Kalau itu kan Memphis bakal 9 dan Phoenix 10 kan.
Aha.
Gue enggak tahu ini perhitungan gimana, tapi gue nemu di Twitter si Harvard Paroxysm ini.
Ah.
Yeah. Ada
Come on, Matt Moore.
Dia ngitung win percentage-nya, gue enggak tahu gimana, tapi sampai ke 0,
titiknya banyak, titiknya banyak, digitnya banyak, setelah titik
desimalnya
sekian,
banyak
sekian, desimal ketiga pokoknya itu okay. Lebih besar si Memphis.
Oke. Okay.
Dan makanya si gue enggak tahu gimana dia sampai ke angka itu. Tapi ya Memphis bakalan nomor 9.
Oke, okay, so kalau dia 9 langsung ketemu 8.
Langsung ketemu 8.
So Memphis lawan
Portland. Kalau Portland menang langsung selesai, tapi kalau misalnya Memphis menang bakal main sekali lagi untuk.
Alright.
Soalnya yang di highlight di NBA.com, I'm just assuming they're kind of legit, I guess. Ada di peringkat 8 dan 9 dan di highlight kuning itu Portland Trail Blazers sama Memphis Grizzlies. So I want to know what is the factor that's kind of yang disadvantage buat Sun saat ini, bukannya tiga-tiganya di highlight, tapi so far as it stands play-in tournament itu Portland Memphis. You know, if one of them loses tomorrow, this could all be a moot point anyway.
Betul.
Wondering, you know, it's just kind of interesting. Karena gini deh, untuk Adam Silver and the gang untuk bisa bikin konsep play-in tournament ini, it's almost like they predicted this was gonna happen.
Kayak, yeah.
You know what I mean? If this wasn't in place, lo mau gimana justifikasi salah tim ini?
Well, there's one wrong prediction. They probably predicted that the Pelicans would be in there.
That part of the plan didn't work. Yeah.
Tapi benar, karena di game nanti pagi ini tiga-tiganya tuh punya kans buat menang gitu. Yes. Tiga-tiganya.
Mm.
Si apa Memphis yeah. ketemu Milwaukee Bucks
yang bakal
ada Giannis dan mengistirahatkan pemainnya. Mm-hmm. Phoenix lawan Mavericks yang udah enggak ada nothing to play for.
Mm-hmm.
Sama si Portland
Nets.
Brooklyn Nets juga yang udah fix juga posisinya. Yeah. So they got all the case to win.
So the ones that need to win can are highly likely to win gitu. Karena lawannya juga enggak akan put up a fight gitu.
Betul, betul.
And they have nothing to gain unless conspiracy ya, nah, itu
beda
kan
lagi. Paul, yeah, what's with you with the conspiracy?
I'm just saying, you know.
Paul Jerinx.
Jerinx sudah penjara
loh. I better keep my mouth shut, man.
Ngomongin Popovich habis itu kena ITE.
I want to go home tonight, man. I mean it's very possible. Coach of the Grizzlies once worked with Coach Bud, you know. Give him a W for the record. No, I'm just kidding, man. It's I think
I read that somewhere. Gue pernah baca sih. Gue lupa di forum apa gitu.
I love the conspiracy theories. I love me some conspiracy.
Okay, look, terlepas dari permutasinya, bahkan sebelum sampai ke titik ini, ada satu artikel John Hollinger di Athletic. Gue nggak tahu literasi gue turun atau apa. Cuman gue ini gimana sih X Y Z-nya? For the sake of the argument, ya, yeah, I think kita semua sepakat bahwa we want to see the Blazers.
Oh yeah.
Ya kan, lawan Lakers. Nah, Bung Amar di Twitter punya sebuah hot take yang menarik. Gue nggak tahu nih dia lagi mencoba nge-reverse jinx timnya sendiri atau apa. But he said, gue yakin Lakers kalau 6 game ketemu Blazers, well kalah in a 7 game series. Do we buy that or not? That's the question.
If the series goes long,
yes,
that the Lakers are going to lose.
I don't know, no, just without ifs.
Okay.
Apakah Lakers akan kalah lawan Blazers? Will an upset happen? Do we buy that stock?
I want to buy the stock, but
head versus heart.
That's a high price to pay for that stock. It's selling high right now.
Yeah, my heart saying yes, but my head saying no. I mean, kemarin aja lawan Sixers yang cabang-cabang kayak gitu, menangnya juga menang tipis gitu. Menangnya juga susah payah, apalagi dengan Lakers yang punya LeBron yang kita tahu di playoff selalu punya another gear gitu kan.
No, but that's aja. I understand how you feel. That was me sebagai sebagai fans Raptors.
Yeah, yeah, amin.
Pas ketemu Warriors ya udahlah, paling enggak udah masuk final gitu.
Yeah,
kan.
Gue bilang juga Amar. Gue sebagai fans Portland dan di bola gue jagoan Arsenal, gue emang udah dikondisikan untuk enggak jumawa dan enggak terlalu over expectation gitu.
Oh, berarti selera timnya udah kelihatan nih ya.
Iya.
Arsenal, Portland. Oh,
and to the same extent kan gue juga mentalnya agak defeatist kan. Karena bola gue Arsenal, basket Indiana. So, sebenarnya itu ya kesamaan kita ya. Small market dengan
sama tim yang
Yes, agak semenjana. Iya, ada apa? Fetis kita nih mengangkat. Enggak, cuman ya, yeah, same thing, man. Gua, I cannot buy that that take. I mean, I hope the series goes long. Gua harap menarik. But yeah, I mean, Dame harus score 50, 60 points.
Menarik sih menarik. Kayak kemarin tahun lalu ketika lawan Warriors, itu kan sebenarnya ada beberapa game yang close kan, di mana emang it can go both ways, tapi kelihatan akhirnya emang materi dari
bahkan tim, ketika situasinya bagus banget bagus, buat Portland, they will always let you in with their lack of defense. Sih.
Oh yeah, look, we never doubted Dame. This is why pas preview restart ini kita rata-rata semua udah kayak most likely Portland, even though mereka belum main satu sama sekali di bubble. I don't think it should surprise us anymore, even though the way he's doing it surprises us, the number surprises us. Tapi how many times has this guy, like, I don't know why people keep pissing him off, because every time he piss him off, itu jadi alasan untuk dia. Ada yang mungkin bacot di Twitter, ada yang aksi berlebihan di lapangan like Pat Beverly or someone, ada yang diem-diem aja senyum gitu, and those are the people that you gotta be scared of, karena mereka balas dengan with their game is and he's doing it again. I don't think there's any doubt they're gonna win this last game. Dia di first round ini, kalau menurut gue ya, in my opinion, kalau ini dia bisa bikin serinya 6 atau 7 game aja, that cements him. Gini, karena a lot of sports talk shows, analysts, semua lagi ngebahas Dame right now as like, you can't list the top 10 right now currently without putting Dame Lillard in there, which just makes sense, gitu kan. He's just very underrated all of the time. Tapi, I haven't seen him with, like, apart from, you know, he's hit big shots, but nobody ever credits him for playoff success yet, gitu kan. Even Iverson, a lot of people are comparing him to Iverson. Colin Cowherd was comparing him to Iverson. I it makes sense. Tapi Iverson even went to the finals and took a game off the Lakers, gitu kan. Jadi until he does that, if he can beat the Lakers in this series, I think that cements his status of what he is right now. Dan dia masih in the middle of his prime right now too. But I think they have a good chance. But I also think that the Lakers have ini seri yang mereka perlu. Apalagi untuk second round matchupnya, whoever they're gonna meet, or the corresponding rounds. Tapi this is the matchup they need. They don't need Phoenix Suns or Memphis because it won't prepare them for who they have coming up next.
Yeah, but just to get them up that one level, yeah.
That's right.
You know, Dame thing, kayaknya sekarang ya, selain Luka, kalau gue sebagai penonton netral, gue disuruh milih satu pemain yang gue suka banget sih, it would have to be Dame gitu, karena gue nggak tahu pada akhirnya apakah dia akan pindah atau enggak, but every time I see him, every time I hear him speak, I sort of see what he stands for. He strikes me as a throwback player in a way, bukan dalam segi cara permainan ya, tapi this mentality gitu loh.
Yeah, you know, one man, one team.
Yeah. So part itunya sih gue suka banget, and he has a flair for the dramatic, the big shots gitu. We've already seen a lot from him. Kalau ngomongin big shots, tapi ada pemain yang kalau buat Gamal tuh nggak kalah dalam segi melakukan big shot, Paul. Kyle Kuzma, bro. Sepenting apa Kyle Kuzma nanti kalau misalnya ketemu Portland? Gila nih orang, man.
Gue berharap dia match-up sama Melo kan. Melo udah setahun nggak main basket, sebetulnya ada playoff Melo, man. Yang bakal nganjing-nganjingin si Kuzma. I don't know, emang dia improve banget di bubble ini dan season ini. Season lalu sebagai rookie dia sangat overrated. Di season ini kelihatan dia sudah improve. Di bubble ini dia lebih improve lagi, kelihatan offensive ability-nya makin efisien dan defense-nya juga kelihatan kalau dia sudah effort-nya lebih kelihatan dan hasilnya juga ada gitu. Yeah. Tapi attitude-nya itu loh yang come on man, you're like the third best player in Lakers, terus in by a margin gitu, kayak si LeBron, AD, terus lo nomor 3 yang gak langsung nomor 3 dekat gitu, yang jauh, agak jauh jaraknya gitu. Terus,
kayak 1-2-8 gitu
ya. Tapi laga lo tuh, come on gitu loh kayak.
Lo percaya kalau misalnya di depan dia ada Yesus, dia bakal menembak?
Yesus in 7, man.
Yesus nafas atau?
Yesus. Tapi statement yang menarik adalah dia bilang kalau di tim lain dia akan menjadi the best player. I think, am I misquoting him?
I agree with your take about his attitude. Uh-huh. But I think untuk menjadi third wheel di Lakers team saat ini, you need to have that attitude. You need to have that kind of look, it's not easy gitu untuk kayak, I'm sure he knows dia enggak 11-12 sama AD juga.
Yeah.
But I think in order for him to fill that role, he has to go in with that attitude. Kyle Kuzma, so, I love Kuzma.
Walk the talk. Yeah.
Well, he has to. Like, mau enggak mau sih.
Yeah, I mean kalau dulu kan si LeBron duanya Wade sama Bosh, you know.
Right.
Bosh kan enggak pakai gini-ginian gitu. Langsung aja gitu, emang udah jago gitu kan, enggak usah laga-laga gini.
Yeah, because you're used to seeing third wheel kayak Kevin Love, kayak Chris Bosh. Mm. I think this is a much better third wheel. Jadi third wheelnya gak terlalu disepir amat gitu. Karena he is obviously talented. I have no doubt he has the potential to be one day as achieve as much as Kevin Love atau Chris Bosh juga gitu. Kalau bisa jadi third wheel, I think he makes a great third wheel because he's not needy, doesn't need the ball.
Sebenarnya tuh yang lucu adalah kalau lo lihat third wheelnya LeBron selama ini, biasanya bintang yang harus menjadi role player. Saya ini kan
Kebalikannya. I think that's what it is. They're leveling up, bukan harus level down.
Iya, gitu kan. So untuk mencapai equilibriumnya itu beda gitu arahnya. Yeah. Tapi still sih kalau gue baca komen-komen dia, especially tentang COVID, ya, COVIDiot lah basically gitu.
Halunya juga.
Yeah. Ngomong-ngomong soal COVIDiot, ada satu COVIDiot lain nih. Fail yang ternyata cukup jago ya.
Siapa?
MPJ.
MPJ man.
Michael Porter
Jr.
Yeah.
He woke.
He woke up. Cuma kalau menurut lo, who does his game resemble Fail? Kalau lo lihat gayanya.
6'10, he can shoot, he can move, playmaker. Gue gak ingat ada a guy that size who can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Tapi benar sih, di bubble ini dia bisa jadi masuk all bubble team.
Mm-hmm.
Dan menurut gue ini kan harusnya kan dia timeline-nya kan ini kan apa? Ini udah masuk musim kedua dia kan sekarang kan. Harusnya.
Iya, betul,
harusnya.
Betul.
Tapi karena injuries di starternya di Denver, Jamal Murray cedera, dan si siapa tuh, si small forward-nya si
Gary Harris.
Jadi dia he thrust into that role and he's relishing in that role. Dan menurut gue kalau lo ngeliat draft class tahun itu after Luka, you can make the case that he's the second best player in that class gitu.
Dia tuh buat gue yang stands out adalah setahun sebelum itu, kalau lo apa sih hoop hypes, bukan lah, kan suka ada rankingnya kan, ranking like the top high school prospects. He was really high sampai dia cedera setahun di Minnesota.
Oh, I think he's
itu
compared to KD Zaman high school,
betul. Because of the height and
pas
the shooting.
Pas high school hype dia tuh gede banget, literally gede banget. Dan karena dia pas di college di Missouri dia cedera lower back, dan lower backnya juga masuknya kategorinya yang parah, dan ada yang bilang juga bisa career ending, makanya draft stocknya kan turun. Makanya di tahun ini dia bisa, makanya Denver ini nge-pick MPJ itu kan gambling kan pas dia ngambil di draft kemarin kan, dan ngelihat ini payoff sih, dan ada emergence dari ball juga. I think that's a good draft class buat si Denver.
Yeah, dan kalau di Denver juga dia akan main di wing kan kemungkinannya. Yep. And that's a position where mungkin dibandingkan tim-tim lainnya, especially di barat, mereka jelas kalah gitu ya. So I think it's a good addition. It's going to be interesting to see kalau misalnya dia ketemu tim-tim elite itu gimana di playoff. Ada exchange di Instagram kan, seperti biasa kan, pertama kali lawan LeBron di post gitu kan, and LeBron being LeBron, the high father gitu kan, strive for greatness, never stop trying every game. a big announcement yang udah keluar adalah soal finalist ya buat award NBA. Actually let's start with the coach, karena we had this conversation, kita kira Nick Nurse nggak masuk, but
oh no, we knew he was going to be nominated for the actual coach of the year. See, that's the thing. The last one yang sebelumnya ini itu sebenarnya just with the coaches voted on it amongst themselves.
Oh, suara pelatih.
Sort of like Golden Globes.
That's why we knew who the names were going
to
come.
I see.
Yeah, mereka punya klik-klik sendiri lah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hollywood Foreign Press.
That's what the whole WA group is all about, right? Nick Nurse has now entered the chat.
Okay, berarti di situ kan ada Billy Donovan, ada Bud,
Nick Nurse.
So, is it Nick Nurse or Billy Donovan? Terus Coach Bud kagak dianggap gitu.
You could make the argument, only argument I could make for Nick Nurse, because see, he proved his chops last season more.
Yeah.
Menurut gue kalau lo bandingkan musim, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Billy Donovan would have achieved more with what he, you know, with a team that he had just this roster yang dia harus mulai ini ya kayak baru dibentukin sebelum musim ini mulai dibandingkan Nick Nurse who basically lost his star player, so you can credit him for masih bisa finish the second Eastern Conference, very consistent, playing all rotating the guys well, playing good defense, but like the new shiny factor kayaknya lebih ke Billy Donovan sih.
Itu karena Billy Donovan atau karena Chris Paul, Phil?
Karena Chris Paul jelas. Tapi kalau di semua finals,
of course, he's gonna win another coach of the year award, of course.
Kalau di World Finalist Coach, menurut gue tiga-tiganya sih punya case yang kuat ya untuk menang ya. Gue nggak akan kaget juga kalau Bud yang menang atau
of
misalnya.
Of course, Coach Bud is gonna win. You're asking who we think we should win, but of course we know pasti dia akan dimenangin.
Gue ingat this spot is kind of high for Coach Bud juga nggak sih di tengah-tengah musim kemarin ketika, I mean, Giannis is hitting another level, terus the whole team mereka blow out kayak zaman-zaman Warriors dulu kan, apa namanya, quarter 3 lo udah menang jauh, jadi di quarter 4 udah nggak pernah main close game segala macam, kayak ya bener kayak itu Vela semuanya punya case yang kuat untuk menang dan ya kayaknya nepotismenya sih kelihatannya.
Who do you think
yang menang sih? But see,
yeah. Really? See, that's the thing. We all kind of. I already have a feeling that Coach. You asked me between Donovan and Nurse, but you didn't ask me who I think yang akan dimenangin.
Dimenangin.
Gue akan dimenangin Coach Bud.
Okay.
I think there's this push for Milwaukee to be, you know, a thing. Like,
kayak narasinya tuh kesana arahnya gitu.
Yeah, okay. You know what I mean? And okay, let's just be honest. Okay, I may not be a basketball coach, tapi. Look at the kualifikasinya deh, kayak apa persyaratan mereka bisa di nominasi untuk award ini. We already talked about Billy Donovan and Nick Nurse. What did Coach Bud do this year special dibandingkan musim-musim sebelumnya yang membuat Milwaukee Bucks bisa punya rekor itu? Memiliki Giannis Antetokounmpo? Well, that's not really him.
Mm-hmm.
What did he George Hill stepped up. Is it really him or is it George Hill? Like, you know what I mean? Mm. How much of it is his coaching? Jadi kalau mau murni bilang ini Coach of the Year award, well, what they all do as a coach to make that team finish with that result di akhir musim gitu. I think Coach Bud totally credible coach obviously, tapi menurut gue kenapa gue pilihnya lebih, kalau gue yang milih, gue lebih milih ke Billy Donovan because I think coaching criteria wise di otak gue, dari kacamata gue adalah apa yang dia lakukan sebagai pelatih yang impactnya paling besar ke timnya finish dengan rekor yang mungkin melebihi ekspektasi.
You know, without going into X's and O's ya, kayaknya emang kalau milih pelatih yang stand out tuh selalu lebih gampang untuk lihat pelatih mana yang lebih mencapai kesuksesan dengan sumber daya yang lebih sedikit, in a way gitu. I think that's kenapa gue condong
atau,
kedua yang
atau
lain.
Atau ini, atau kalau misalnya case Billy Donovan bukan mencapai dengan Rosen Lombardi, tapi gimana dia bereksperimen gitu kan.
Three-guard lineup, yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's why I think Nick Nurse, last year we saw that from him gitu.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's already his thing, kita udah tahu gitu. If you want to give somebody an award, yang belum pernah melakukan sesuatu ya Billy Donovan. How many people really believe in Billy Donovan? Even now, lo rasa itu dikredit ke Chris Paul mostly. But then again, Chris Paul has been on other teams that didn't work. Jadi, I do give him some credit in that sense. Tapi
dan ini pelatih yang sebelumnya nggak terlalu dilihat kemampuan taktikalnya juga ya, Billy Donovan.
Correct.
Fail. Apakah Giannis bakal jadi MVP sama DPOY sekaligus?
Yeah, gue bilang iya. Karena menurut gue ini musim dimana Giannis harusnya sih sudah tidak diperdebatkan lagi untuk jadi MVP. Karena dari segi statistik, dari segi permainan, dari segi improvement dari tahun lalu.
Walaupun kemarin waktu lawan Lakers kalah ya, waktu sebelum bubble.
Yes. Sebenarnya momentumnya tuh bisa shift sebelum corona ini muncul. Kan sebelum musimnya di hold, Giannis sempat cedera. Dan waktu itu momentum LeBron untuk make his MVP push tuh kebuka. Tapi
Wash King gitu.
Wash King year 17 itu udah lagi kebuka. Nah tapi karena musimnya di hold, akhirnya itu tidak terjadi. Dan kalau kita cuma ngeliat statistik dan ngeliat bagaimana permainan ini, menurut gue Giannis is runaway MVP dan juga defensive player of the year.
Ini tuh kayak kali ada yang dua-duanya tuh kapan ya? Was it Hakeem? Enggak ya?
Jordan
ya justru.
Jordan.
Oke, Giannis unanimous. Gue juga kayaknya I would go with him. Kayak nggak ada flaw in his defense gitu.
Ya DPOY mungkin untuk apa namanya contendernya selain itu kan Rudy Gobert kan, tapi
lagi-lagi Gobert,
Gobert kelihatan I think he got exposed by the small ball Rockets gue rasa.
Yeah.
I think he got exposed by Corona.
Yeah,
man. Tapi kalau tapi kalau ngomongin MVP, gue pengen pengen tahu pendapat kalian sih. Gue kemarin di Twitter tuh sempat rame kalau writernya ESPN yang ESPN LA, Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah. Makasih.
Dia ngomong kalau I'm always been a narrative based voter gitu. Jadi I'm voting based on the narrative. Maksudnya narrative tuh menjadi faktor pemilihan dia juga. Nah, menurut kalian is it okay for a writer to vote dengan narrative base gitu?
Buat gue nggak, apalagi kalau dia posisinya adalah jurnalis di mana I think harus berdasarkan you know stats and sound analysis. I mean sebenarnya tergantung juga di balik itu kan narasi itu kan kayak sesuatu yang membungkus keseluruhan alasan lo memilih sesuatu kan, like even if ketika lo terpengaruh oleh narasi, I don't think you should go out and say ini gue karena narasi gitu, because narration adalah sesuatu yang di lapangan, tapi yang menghidupkan itu kan adalah jurnalisnya itu sendiri gitu loh. So for me, for this person to choose based on a storyline, for me, gue apalagi considering dia jurnalis sih, gue I think seharusnya dia lebih well informed untuk memilih karena alasan lain sih. I think justru di posisi dia seharusnya dia bisa memilih based on apa yang dianggap sebagai performance. That's
how I see it. I agree halfway with you.
Okay.
I agree that it should be performance and statistic based for half the vote.
Okay.
If everyone just votes based on statistics and facts, then it's just going to be a very boring and predictable awards, okay, isn't it? I think there needs to be emotional element, and that's what I want. That's why these people, these journalists, these experts, yang dikasih hak untuk vote. Mm-hmm. Karena gue ingin mereka menggunakan opini mereka sendiri juga. Because okay, they all have, I'm sure they all have different emotional ties. Mm-hmm. Dan itu yang bikin vote ini jadi seru. I don't okay want all 30 to vote on for the same player. Oh, Giannis semua. Karena kenapa? Karena, well, if you look at points per game and defensive, you know, if I want there to be an emotional attachment. I like there to be a narrative, tapi not fully narrative based juga, nggak cuma gara berdasarkan cerita seru.
Mungkin mungkin it's not like cold hard stats kali ya. Poin gue cuman like what is she implying sih sebenarnya?
Dia tuh kan bilang kalau
so she's gonna vote for LeBron.
Yeah, she's voting for LeBron because karena LeBron dia ngelihat performa LeBron tahun ini di compare dengan semua drama yang ada di Lakers, di rosternya Lakers musim lalu, nggak ada AD dan he's struggling. Terus kemudian di musim ini, walaupun ESPN train juga nge-push kalau oh ini musim ini berat sekali untuk LeBron karena Kobe sudah meninggal dan and it's hard for their organization. Jadi itu ditambah Ramona Shelburne ngomong kalau I'm voting for LeBron because gua dia memasukkan naratif itu dalam faktor pemilihan dia itu jadi kayak
sebenarnya nah here's the thing, gua tidak menang walaupun dia menceritakannya itu sebagai naratif. Kalau she puts it like that, buat gue itu bukan naratif gitu loh. Itu kan dia ngelihat, oh kayaknya LeBron ini paling perform di tengah semua hambatan.
No, it is a narrative. There is a narrative that he wasn't even supposed to be this. They weren't supposed to be this good.
Okay.
Considering, soalnya anytime you introduce history, past history, which is musim lalu.
Okay.
Lihat mereka seancur apa nggak bisa masuk ke playoff musim lalu, dan lihat dia di mana musim ini itu udah
itu ada naratifnya.
Yeah, of course, because then there's ada bangkitnya dari situ.
Okay.
Di mana lo kalau tutup mata ke sebelum awal musim first game of the season lo cuma ngelihat straight games yang mereka mainin pas di lapangan lo nggak lihat yang lain-lain, nggak lihat organizationnya seperti apa.
Karena kalau buat gue ya itu sikon sama konteks.
Dan kalau menurut gue kalau ngelihat apa dia ngevote based on narrative, menurut gue sih nggak salah. Gue setuju sih sama Paul Kerr, karena if you go back over the years tuh banyak banget pilihan MVP yang keswing karena naratif justru.
For sure.
Westbrook 2017, Steve Nash over Kobe, Jordan harusnya setiap tahun kalau based on statistik menang MVP kan. Cuma ada beberapa tahun dia nggak menang gitu. Jadi it's a bit ironic for buat orang yang bilang lo ngapain masukin naratif gitu kalau sebenarnya tahun-tahun kebelakang itu it's always been narrative
based. So technically if LeBron wins MVP this year because of his narrative, it would only be right because of how many MVPs he lost because of the narrative untuk pemenangnya MVP tahun-tahun tersebut, di mana yang kita lihat statistically LeBron was a beast again, but nah masa dia kayaknya lagi MVP gitu kan.
You know kayaknya kalau posisi gua di situ gua ngelihatnya merit sih. Like kalau misalnya kenapa si Ramona itu milihnya karena dia ngelihat sumber dayanya LeBron dan apa yang dia hadapi itu lebih berat, then for me I can agree. But if it's because of what happened in the past, then dia nggak dapat, and that's a narrative.
Everything a narrative.
That's like
means
a lifetime achievement award, man.
A narrative comes from obviously has to do with narrative. Story, narration of a story. So if there's a story, a backstory to this basically
that's
what
a narrative.
Is there a backstory to his season this season? Yes, more than Giannis. Yes, more than Giannis. Karena Giannis was already MVP last year. He's kind of repeating the same thing. So the more interesting narrative is what we would say.
Okay.
Itu LeBron musim ini gitu. Jadi if you vote based on narrative, ya lo pasti ke naratif yang lebih menarik, yang lebih baru, yang lebih shiny, yang lebih gampang dijual. You can sell, you can get clicks, you can get people to read as opposed to Giannis scored another 35 points and got MVP.
Okay. Gitu. Biar enggak terlalu pedantik, probably my point would be if it's on a it's a case to case basis. You know, like naratif itu isinya apa for me? Does it check out? I think that's probably where I would stand.
True, because sorry, one more thing to add. Because narrative gets old very quick. The narrative that won Russell Westbrook his MVP, the triple double narrative, got old really quick.
Yes.
And then, in fact, was not even considered as a narrative the next year.
A stat based narrative.
Exactly. that's it's a little bit of a remix.
Anyway, look at man.
Gimana ya? Kalau misalnya gue ngeliatnya kayak chicken and egg gitu loh. Kalau misalnya dia si jurnalis ini bikin naratif berdasarkan stats gara-gara berdasarkan segala macam, dia membuat naratif seorang pemain untuk menang MVP, tapi terus dia memilih pemain itu jadi pemain MVP setelah dia membuat case dia jadi MVP, kayak
muter-muter gitu. I think that's my case with Ramona. It's like lo memilih based on sesuatu yang lo perpetuate juga gitu. Itu buat gue okay.
And don't get me wrong, I think LeBron is very good by now at controlling his narrative.
Yes.
And like he knows
Swift,
exactly when to be more vocal ke media.
Kayak ini file kayak Eliza Schuyler. Eliza Schuyler.
Timing is everything for LeBron, and as he gets older, that's another thing he gets better at, not just his three-point shot but also controlling his narrative going in, because he's lost several times because of narrative. He's been the Giannis in this situation. Mm-hmm. And him winning MVP would be like tadi kita ngobrolin kalau Billy Donovan jadi coach of the year. And I have a conspiracy where I don't know, I don't think they're going to put like give the same guy two big awards.
Uh-huh.
If Giannis wins that, he's not going to win defensive player. I think it's going to be Anthony Davis. And I think if LeBron wins MVP, Anthony Davis isn't going to win defensive of the player, because then you have to give something to Giannis and you can't give it to two Lakers with these two big awards. So that's just my theory.
Pada
watch it happen.
Again, narrative, conspiracy theories. Nah, tapi pada akhirnya, you know, this rings to one thing sih. Pada akhirnya, voter tuh manusia sih, man.
Yeah,
they're really subjective inside their heads. Okay, Rookie of the Year, menurut gue gak ada debat ya.
Yep.
It's probably going to be Ja Morant. Kategori yang menarik lainnya, let me scroll down, is actually Six Men dulu kali ya. Trezel, or kalau berdasarkan naratif ya, Lou Williams udah gak mungkin lah ya.
Narratif sama voters fatigue itu mungkin sama kali ya. Orang udah capek ngevote.
They're tired lagi of the narrative. That's the way you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Karena narratifnya selalu sama ya. Kalau untuk case Lou Williams ya nggak sih?
Case siapa?
Kalau si Lou Williams emang case nya selalu sama. Narratif selalu sama dia sebagai ya hard man from the bench aja udah nggak ada nggak ada yang lain. Kalau Trust kan ya itu the shiny new narrative aja.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then? For him to be able to win this award playing with one of the best six men ever of all time makes it that much better for him. But honestly, I don't really care about this award. This is the only one I don't care about. Kayak tiga-tiganya juga. To me, gak ada yang menonjol banget sebagai six men yang membantu timnya melebihi ekspektasi. Not this season. Like, they're all great six men. Don't get me wrong. Lou Williams, legend. But I don't think he did something that drastically different. You had PG and Kawhi in your starting lineup. So you weren't as needed.
Trezel and Schroeder fell?
Gue pengen lihat big man menang six man sih. Sorry. Karena menurut gue, ini Zach Lowe di ESPN tuh, he bring us an interesting point, kalau sebenarnya six man of the year awards tuh udah bias ke lead ball handler coming off the bench gitu.
Putting up numbers,
yes. With second units gitu kan. Yeah. Dan menurut gue, kalau gue ngeliat ada seorang big man yang bisa, did basically same thing without the ball, dan kalau ngeliat statistiknya juga bagus, dan si Harrell begitu dia masuk, defense-nya tidak berkurang sedikit pun. He can play, he's versatile too. He can play big, he can play small. Dan gue sih pengen banget ngeliat seorang big man menang six man sih.
Hmm. Now, that I think this is probably the most interesting category sebenarnya. Most improved player. Jih, kandidatnya banyak nih. Luka sudah bilang saya tidak mau ya. Yeah. It should be Devontae Graham.
Yang official siapa sih? Ya. Luka, Siakam sama satu lagi siapa?
Brandon Ingram.
Bam.
Oh, Ingram ya.
Bam Adebayo.
And Ingram.
Bam,
yeah.
Ingram.
Bam, Luka.
Ini susah sih.
Jason Tatum.
Gue leaning ke Ingram kalau dulu-dulu kan ngeliat dia di Lakers agak-agak wasted gitu. Terus right. Dia pindah ke Pelicans yang emang ekspektasinya nggak banyak, tiba-tiba dia menjadi go to scorer di situ dan mainnya juga bagus banget, efisien juga. Tapi Bam nggak tahu, kalau misalnya kita lihat naratifnya emang Bam tuh kayak lebih late season itu nggak sih kayak
I get it kenapa iya penting kan? Ada naratif ketika lo deadlock 3 lo butuh naratif bangsat
lebih fresh gitu kalau Bam tuh kayak di hype-nya tuh lebih ke akhir-akhir ini sih, dibanding kalau Ingram kan awal-awal season kan.
So jadi it's about finishing ya sebenarnya ya.
Ada. It has merits, man.
Lo gimana, Paul? Pascal Siakam?
I think it's a travesty that OG Anunoby is not included in this list. Because I'll tell you why. I don't think Luka Doncic should be on this list. Yep. I think Luka Doncic, kita ngomong definisi kata-kata improve.
Okay.
I think he was already so good the previous season that I don't think the improvement range-nya gak segitu jauh. In my opinion, I believe Bam is like improvement. There you go. Dari musim sebelumnya ke musim ini jauh gitu improvement. Brandon Ingram even I think what a huge improvement gitu kan. What a great new situation for him. But I think that spot for that Doncic, it could have been reserved for somebody else yang nggak usah nama besar deh. Ini kadang-kadang kita juga lihat ada award harus forcer ada nama besar kalau tiga-tiganya nama kind of like small names. You know, in small markets you need somebody big. And I think Luka might even win this award, but I think it should go to Bam.
Bam, making that step to the next level ya. Tapi OG itu improvementnya segede apa ya? Cause last season tadi cedera kan ya?
I just think that secara logika, if Pascal has to replace Kawhi, then OG did a pretty good Pascal imitation this year untuk menggantikan role-nya.
Offense-nya lebih konsisten dia.
Three point shooting.
Gue punya dia di fantasy kan. Jadi gue lihat.
Fantasy dari tadi disagreeing with me. I'm like, oh, okay. I got an OG fan.
Okay. Statsnya bagus dan konsisten gitu. About 15 points game gitu kan. Yeah. Dan bersih mainnya.
Cuman, you know, on a team like Toronto, the key is everyone's almost like too even gitu. Jadi enggak ada, enggak terlalu menonjol juga. But I'm just joking about the Toronto thing. I think these three totally would ini race yang salah satu yang lebih seru gitu. Yeah, susah ditebak gitu. Iya. Yeah.
Who you got edging it, Phil?
I got Ingram.
Ingram. Nice. Making that leap to an all-star.
Yep, dan menurut gue he's scoring more. He shoots it more efficiently. Dan menurut gue ini juga situasi yang bagus banget buat dia to showcase his skills setelah dia terperangkap di kungkungan Los Angeles Lakers gitu. Dan menurut gue juga gue lebih suka pemain yang offensive star kayak dia yang shot selection itu lebih modern gitu loh. Dia he's getting to the line, he's shooting less mid range, he's shooting more threes. Threesnya juga lebih efficient. Jadi menurut gue Brandon Ingram sih bisa menang.
This is where I think narrative comes in. For me, I thought of those two like Bam or Brandon. The narrative for me won it for Bam. Karena naratif timnya dan what he brings to the team as opposed to the chaos that is the Pelicans. Like Heat going in and nice, you know, middle of the pack into the playoffs dibandingkan Pelicans.
Yeah, dan Pelicans narrative lebih fokus ke Zion, kan?
Yes.
Fuck the narrative.